Hello, this is Hunchy Henry Graves, and welcome to The Way. I have with me today Great Grandmaster Vic Moore. Grandmaster Moore, are you there?
I'm here, yes, sir.
How you doing, sir?
Greetings.
Greetings.
Doing good.
All righty. Well, you know, I've been waiting to talk to you for a while now. You're a busy man. Seems like you got a lot of things going on, and you know, you're quite the buzz right now. So a lot of people talking about you.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more calls and buzz and more popular because of the internet. You know, when I was coming up, we didn't have the internet and cell phones and all that good stuff.
Yes,
and people don't get to hear about us as much, so they didn't know who we were. They weren't able to just tune in and look up who they wanted and all that.
Yes, sir. Well, World Traditional Karate Association is a great organization and things like that. You know, I'm sure more people need to be more aware of everything you're doing out there. Such a great organization. Take it from me, is none better.
Yes, sir. We're stressing traditional karate, real karate. Because karate done got so far out of hand that it's no longer the martial art. It's ballet and gymnastics and street fighting and every bit of crap.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, yes. So now, so tell me, what have you been up to?
Say that again.
Where you been going? What's been going on with you? Where you been?
Well, I'm just running the organization here from North Carolina.
Okay, so
I haven't done too much traveling. I'm getting ready to do a lot of traveling, but as of right now, I've been stationary here.
Okay.
Telling people about the traditional karate. Everybody getting calls every day.
Yeah.
Wanting to know more about me, who am I, where am I from, and how did I get started?
I can imagine.
So it's a lot of people just don't know who Vic Moore is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to educate as many of them as I can.
Yeah, well, I'm sure when they pick up something and read about you, they're fascinated. That's why you're getting all the calls about who you are and what you're doing and, you know, how they can get in contact with you. So now, if they wanted to come down to see you, what would they need to do to come there? Would they have to schedule a class time with you? How would that all go on?
Well, naturally, it's always best to make an appointment. Yeah, I'm right here in North Carolina, Delco, and I'm listed in the internet, you know, on the internet and all. So, I welcome anytime they want to come.
Oh, great. Well, we're looking forward to have you come and do a seminar for us here in Florida,
well,
you know.
People just want to know more about me, so I'm trying to explain to people who I am, how I got started, and all the different instructors that I've had. And once they see all the different instructors that I've had, it's kind of, well, no wonder he won so many tournaments. No wonder he beat Bruce Lee and everybody else. But if they don't know who Vic Moore is, they just think the movie star guy is the super champion. And he never competed at a tournament. I've never beaten anybody.
Whoa.
So their fantasy bubble is busted a little bit there.
Wow. Well, we know all the great champions that you have came across and you're beating them and they talk highly of you. You know, they have nothing but good things to say about you because I'm personally meeting you and getting to know you. You're a great martial artist and you're a great human being. You're just somebody that's very good. Yes, sir.
To be the best, you got to do what?
Well, you got to go against the best to be the best.
You got to beat the best. That's yeah. Right.
And that's one thing for sure, you know. Martial arts is one of those things where we try to pride ourselves in being straight up and straight forth. And sometimes, you know, people have their favorites, and no matter what you say, they don't want to hear anything about
yeah.
that, you know.
You're going to always have your favorite and going to put more confidence in them than in the person that's challenging your person that you analyze.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've been in a situation where I done went to different parts and fought and knocked the guy out the ring and still lost, you know, because that was the hometown favorite. So, you know, sometimes that's kind of hard to beat that thing. But the truth always got to come out. So tell me, what was one of your...
I'm trying to do is educate people to what real karate is about. And that is being in a stance and fighting from a stance with real karate technique and not jumping up and down, running around playing tag like two kids in elementary school.
Yes, sir. Well, can I ask you a question? Who is one of your most memorable or favorite person you went up against that you would like to compete with or against? Who was one of the top people?
Well, there's four or five top people. And I tell people sometimes, if you want to doubt me on the real champions. Doubt that I defeated Big Mike Foster in 65 to become the first Grand National champion in the world. And that man... weighing 275 pounds, 6'6", undefeated. Dr. Satoshi Bodyguard, he and Yamaguchi, when they came to America, I mean, that man was huge, and he was unbeatable until I had to lay it on him.
Wow.
And then there's the old Hawaiian champion that came here in 66 at the World Championship in Richmond, Virginia. Man with lightning speed. I beat him. In 67, I beat everybody. I beat the All-Korean champion that was here from Korea with the delegation at Jim Reed International Tournament. He stood up against the wall, take his leg, put it up over his head, drop down, do the full split. Everybody says, oh, Rick, look who you're going to have to fight. I said, yeah, but that wall don't kick back.
Uh-oh.
He went up in there to do a flying jump kick. I went up in there and knocked him out of the ring and from the air.
Wow.
Boy, they wanted to fight, had to call with highway patrol and sheriff. Man, this guy done beat up on my champion because I treated him like he was a kid. I mean, I beat him so bad. Then there's a big... Mike Stone.
Wow.
I got him in 69 and 67. Who else was it? Chuck Norris, and that was Bruce Lee. People said, Bruce Lee, yeah. Well, Bruce Lee was the best. Bruce Lee, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't take just a movie star and make them a world karate champion just because they look good in the movies. Everything in the movie is choreographed. It's not real. It's not real fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's planned. And if you were going to try and decide who was the best, first of all, you got to say, well, who have been trained in the martial arts? My instructor was Dr. Robert A. Trias, who brought karate to America in 1946 out in Phoenix, Arizona. I was his first chief instructor. I was on his Trias International and USKA competition team. That's who I was. But I got my start back in 1950 around the neighborhood. In 56, I started my official lesson with Ron Williams, learning Kenpo and Kung Fu. And then there was Bill Dimitri and Harvey Eubanks. I was learning Goju-Ryu from Harvey Eubanks and then Bill Dimitri took over and he was teaching Shotokan, and then later he got with Dr. Satoshi and started teaching Shichiru that we were studying. We had an exchange student that came from China to the University of Cincinnati Engineering School, and he wanted to teach some classes, so he started teaching Sha Yun Fong, and man, he was rough.
Boy, he was rough? He was good?
Beg pardon?
Was he really good?
He tied our legs together, and when we sparred, we couldn't run from each other. You had to be right there. Yeah, he was excellent. He's one of the best teachers I've had.
Wow.
And then I went out on Reading Road. There was Jim Wax that was teaching Shorin Ryu, who who studied with Anse Yushiro, and he was another poet instructor. Then I went to college, and there was Barry Yusudo teaching Shotokan, and he worked with a group of us, wouldn't let us join the Japanese Karate Association. And I started traveling, going to tournaments up in Canada, doing pretty fair. And Dr. Robert Trias came out with the first USKA, United States Karate Association World Championship in Chicago in 63. Al Jean Carrillo from Cleveland won that. I was in the semifinals, and the next year was Mike Stone in 64. He won that. Our karate guys were so rowdy at the hotels and around town, they didn't want us back in Chicago.
No way.
That's a trip. Beg pardon?
I say no way. They didn't want you back in.
No, Master Trias decided he's going to have it in Miami, Florida. He changed the name to the Grand National, and that's the year I wanted, beating the Big Mike Foster. And that placed me as the first African-American Grand National champion in the world.
Man.
The first Grand National champion. That's worldwide.
That's worldwide. That's big.
Then it's 68, I beat Joe Lewis to become the first pro karate champion. I was one of the first ones to ever beat Joe Lewis. And in 69, I beat Jim Kelly, who had a starring role at the End of the Dragon movie. And that's when I also defeated my idol, Mike Stone. Mike Stone had 91 straight victories, never took a second or third place until he fought me, and I swept him in rich hand, did on him what he does to everybody else. He dislocated his shoulder. He couldn't continue. So that was a big victory. And 1970, I defeated Bill Superfoot Wallace for the world championship in San Antonio, Texas. So every national champion out there, I defeated them just about one time or another.
Yes, sir. It's like who's who in karate. You have met, been with, and beat the best. How can no one not recognize that?
With all of them high-ranking instructors and best instructors, no wonder. And then by me competing and winning all them tournaments, proved that I must have knew something. Now you're going to put a TV person, a movie person up against this real world champion? Well, okay.
Well, how did you feel about that? How did you feel?
Busy. Huh?
Grandmaster Moore, how did you feel when they asked you to, or he asked you, or however it went, to do a little contest with him? Did you feel that it was something you wouldn't do, or it was not good enough for you to do, or you felt like, okay, well, we'll see how this is?
Ed Parker said that we got Bruce Lee here, Kato, the Green Hornet. He challenged any of you world champions, national champions, to a speed match. He got a punch so fast he can go in, hit you, and come out, and you won't even touch it. You can't see it. Master Tris had me, Jimmy Jones from Chicago, Artie Simmons from Erie, Pennsylvania, and I'm there, Vic Moore from Cincinnati. Said, I got three guys here. I know either one of them can take him. He says, you think so? He said, I know so. He said, well, put one up. He said, one of you guys going up there and show him what I show he can do. And everybody was just laughing at Bruce Lee. Who's he? What is he? He's no champion. He haven't won no tournament. Mm-hmm. What's in it for us? Money? How about a movie role? You know, they're just laughing. Ed Parker says, well, maybe he's just that fast. Nobody's picking him up on his challenge. Robert Trier says, Victor, go on up there. So I went up there, and he said he's going to back up four steps, come in, throw a punch, hit me in the chest. Not going to hit me hard, just tag me and come out, and I won't be able to touch his hand. I said to myself, well, bull crap, I know he ain't that fast. flight and it's fast, and I darn near keep up with it. He come in, you say, you ready? I say, yeah. He comes in, lightning speed, throw a punch at my chest, and I blocked it with him. The guy said, you palm me a block. Bam! Everybody hollering, woo! Did you see that block? Oh, Vic Morris said. Bruce Lee says, well, let's try it again. He came in, lightning speed again, they hit me in the chest, and I blocked it. By this time, everybody is hooping and hollering, standing up, stumping in the bleachers. Well, Bruce Lee reached out and pat me on my right arm, says, boy, you fast. You're the fastest American I've ever seen. I said, oh, well, thank you, bye-bye. And he said, well, let's try it again. So he don't ask me if I'm ready. But I glanced off in the, looking at the crowd up in the audience there with all that noise, and he just threw a quick backhand strike at my head. My eyes caught it coming back, and I kind of swung at it like you hit at a fly. And I started laughing at him. I said, what are you trying to do? You trying to sneak something in at the head? You're supposed to be punching to the chest. And my finger was pointing to the head and pointing to the chest, and he just kind of grinned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he get ready to walk away. I said, wait a minute, Bruce, let me show you how it's done. You blocked mine. Now, I came in and I threw a punch, hit him in the chest. He missed. He didn't block it. I said, well, we'll go again. He said, all right. I came in. I hit him harder this time, kind of knocked him back. He missed that one. I said, boy, I'm faster than the Green Hornet, huh? Everybody started laughing, you know.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee was all in tears, you know. And I just threw a regular punch, see if he can block that one, which he did. So he missed both of my punches, and I blocked both of his punches that he threw. So as the contest, they go back and forth. You can't just count one strike and say, oh, that man is faster. You had to see what the other man can do, too.
Yes.
And I beat him both ways.
Wow.
I was faster on the block and faster on the punches. So afterwards, he said, how'd you get so fast? I said, that's my instructor over there, Robert Trias. He had me punching outside, snowflakes, and the snow, rain, raindrops inside, trying to punch at a mirror to make it look like a blur, see if you can punch faster than you can see it. All kind of stuff. He said, man, y'all use Mother Nature. No wonder you so fast.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. So he wanted me to check his Taekwondo out. We sparred around just a little bit. There was only about a dozen people still following us around. I swept him, hooked him, punched him. He couldn't touch me. So the Taekwondo wasn't doing nothing. And he asked me, well, Vic, how you like my Taekwondo? I said, well, Bruce, I don't, as you see, I could hit you anytime, and you couldn't touch me. All that jumping and fancy footworking is telegraphing, and it just don't count. Well, a lot of people like it. I said, that's because they don't know karate.
Wow.
So, you know, that's the story to that, and people got to understand, fact number one, if the guy's going to challenge somebody, that somebody got to be somebody. It can't just be a lady out of the audience or a kid off the street. It should be another champion.
Yes.
Because if he beat the champion, then he gets some credibility.
Yes, sir.
Second, the contest should go both ways, not just one person. So one little punch, and now he's the world's best. He's the greatest champion of all, and that was 2.5 feet away. It never even came close enough to count. So when you look at it on the internet and you freeze it, you see his punch, his backhand strike at that is 2.5 feet away. He's supposed to be punching at the chest. So he was trying to sneak something in at the head instead of carrying out the contest. Then the other side should have the opportunity, but they don't even show my punches. They don't show us sparring. They don't show the punches that I threw at him. all they show is that one little backhand strike. Some of the footage show the first two punches that was blocked, but most of them is just showing that one backhand strike, and everybody thinks that was the contest. You're going to take 2 or 3 seconds? We were out there for half an hour or an hour.
Wow.
So what happened to the other time? A contest ain't no 2 or 3 seconds. We was out there for at least a half an hour or an hour. People don't get to see that. They won't even show that.
Well, you could have some people, grandmasters.
Brainwashed on Bruce Lee. They think he's the world's greatest karate man. He's a good movie star. He did karate all right. Hey, but if you're going to challenge a world champion to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Well, you know, some people may just think that you may be upset that because Bruce Lee was all big and famous and all of that, you know, how would you answer your critics on that? If anybody would say that.
I heard that one guy, what's his name, brother teacher son. So Vic Moore, just an old man, gripey man, he's just jealous of something other or whatever. Man, all the world championships that I'm won, the people out in the field, every national champion out there, I don't have to be grumpy. I don't have to feel bad.
That's right.
I feel proud of myself.
Because
the USA captain of his competition team. I defeated every national champion out there. And I can name a dozen people that were just as fast as Bruce Lee or faster. Jimmy Jones and Artie Simmons, number one, sitting right there with me, was just as fast. They call us the Three Musketeers, so we would win at all the tournaments. I know Steve Sanders Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia, is just as fast. He would have beat Bruce Lee. I know Mike Stone, he was faster. I fought Mike Stone. Mike Stone may not know how fast he is compared to Bruce Lee because he hasn't fought him. I fought him, so I know. Joe Lewis would have beaten him. There are several people out there. Bill Wallace, all those super champions. Chuck Norris, I beat all of them, but I also know they were just as fast as Bruce Lee or faster because I fought them all. Now, if you haven't fought Bruce Lee and whoever you're comparing him to, then you're just guessing.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you fought both of them, then you got a more realistic idea on who's the fastest and who would probably be in a speed test.
Wow. So you know, that's
Vic Moore, so I ain't got nothing to feel bad about. Bruce Lee acknowledged I was faster.
Well, Grandmaster Moore, you know, every time I've been privileged enough to train with you and have you train and talk to me and tell me different things, I've came out of every experience a little bit better, a little bit better understanding of the martial arts. And, you know, it's my honor to got to know you and to be around you. And every year when you do your little the banquet, when you do your seminar down there, you know, it's a great thing. I hope a whole lot of people get to come down there to see you. When is that event again? November or December?
Well, that's going to be in November.
Okay.
The third weekend in November.
And I would strongly tell anybody who's interested in coming to or seeing a great seminar, they need to come down there and be a part of this. The 17th.
People want to know how I beat these different champions.
Yes, sir.
Come to the seminar, I'm going to be showing.
Yes, that's true. Yes, you do.
How did I beat Bill Wallace? How did I stop this lightning kick?
Yes.
Across the 65 miles an hour.
Let me tell you something, Grandmaster. I've trained with Bill Wallace and, you know, pitched with him, trained with him, went out and even ate with him and things like that. Bill Wallace is fast, but I'm going to tell you something. You are faster. you are just one of those guys. When you talk to them and meet with them and be with them, you leave out of there with a greater understanding. But if they want to learn how you did all of that, they need to come down to the seminar, be down there in November, you know, so they can get to meet you and get to hear your philosophy. It's just what you bring. It's just being around you somehow rub off and make you better. That's what I say.
Well, if they're into traditional karate, I would hope they would want to support traditional karate on a worldwide basis.
Yes, sir.
So I invite everybody to join our traditional world karate.
Yes, sir.
If they're into traditional karate.
Oh my goodness gracious! And going back to what you were talking about, beating the world best and dealing with Bruce Lee and all of that. You know, some people will see that. You know, you talk about these things, and they will want to say, "Well, hey, you know, that was then, and this is now." But does karate ever change? True karate, does it get worse or get better?
Well, when you look at karate nowadays out there, there is no more karate. They're doing ballet and gymnastics and street fighting and all.
Uh-huh.
You got to get down in a stance, fight from a stance, execute real karate techniques.
Well, that's the thing that you always told me that you want, you know, to see more of and to bring that message back to the karate world. And, you know, anything that I can do and be a part of and doing it, I'm going to do my best to make sure what your legacy and all of that continues to grow and people get to come there and see you. I mean, I'm very happy to be a part of what you do. And I want people to come there and see you for myself and learn from you. You know, when they come up here, they come to Florida or anything and want to come into the dojo and train, they can see what you have showed me, told me, and expect. You know, you one of the guys, you tell them to do something, you expect them to do it and to do it right. That's what they need to get back to.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of good guys out there that was out there fighting. Mike Stone, he would have beaten Bruce Lee. He was much faster. Chuck Norris would have beaten him. He's much faster. Or just as fast in real life. Well, he beat Chuck Norris in the movie. That's a movie. That's a play. Movies are for play, folks. Superman don't fly for real.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, sir. Well, you know, you kind of hurt people.
Like anything they want.
You kind of making people a little bit upset when you say that. You know that, right? Because that's the hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like, well, Bruce Lee's my hero, you know, and you tell them what you've done and what you, and a lot of people just don't know you. But if they take the time out to research you, they will understand where you're coming from and what you're saying. And, you know, that's one of my hopes that they do. They do want to take exception and want to, like, find out more about, well, who's this guy saying he did this and that, and get down and learn the truth about it. That's all they got to do.
Who I train from, all my different instructors and all, the different styles of karate. People so brainwashed now, they think Taekwondo is a total different art. Taekwondo ain't no more than doing Korean karate. What do you do in Taekwondo that you don't do in karate? Now, if you're talking jujitsu or something other, judo, that's a different art. You flip them and sawing and carrying on. People say, well, I learned Kung Fu. Well, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
mm-hmm.
do karate? No, I don't do karate. I do Taekwondo. Do you drive a car? No, I don't drive a car. I drive a Toyota.
Okay, I got you. I see what you mean. They don't realize the martial arts are the martial arts. And
yeah, just the name from the country of where it's been taught at.
Well, Grandmaster Moore, I have a question for you. Now, they're talking about having the Olympics in the karate in the 2020 Olympics and also Taekwondo. Now, why do they making a distinction doing Taekwondo in the Olympics and having karate in the Olympics? What is the big fuss that these people are talking about?
Because of promotion, people's
ignorant,
they just don't know.
You know, they act like that. You know, they're not going to be doing.
They don't want to build this style,
mm-hmm.
and they build it so strong that people think it's a different art. What in the world are they going to do in Taekwondo that they don't do in regular karate? You got stances, you got blocks, you got punches, you got strikes, you got kicks.
Well, that's what I do in karate.
Punch them with the same part of the hand.
Yeah, exactly.
One just stands up and run around more than another one.
Okay. Wow. You know, I'm thinking of making the Taekwondo people, they probably got a lot to say too, you know. I can't wait till we can call in and answer these questions live and get, and you know, make people think. Just get them to think and listen to the show today. I'm sure we're going to get them talking and buzzing, and you're going to be getting a whole lot more people want to talk to you and everything too, you know, that, which is a good thing because they're going to get exposed to the truth.
Yeah.
So you say that with all of these guys that you had the pleasure and the privilege of being with, you said this guy, I forgot the name you told me, the big guy, the 200 and some pound man, was the biggest person you ever fought? I thought Joe Lewis was like the biggest guy.
No.
Wow.
Joe Lewis was strong, he was muscular, he was fast, super fast. That sidekick breaking people's ribs.
Well, you know what they don't get from a lot of people when they come to see you? You tell them about mental conditioning. You tell them how to mentally beat someone. And I mean, just facing somebody that big that's been breaking people's ribs with sidekicks when you went into fighting, you didn't think about that kind of stuff, did you? You just went in there and did what you was taught to do. You know what I mean? Some people think it's like you go into that and you got to go in there with a certain strategy, but don't fights change from one moment to a moment? I mean, the guy might do something different than you've seen him do on a film, so you have to be ready at all times to adapt and be ready to deal with whatever he comes at you with.
They just keep getting weaker and weaker. And if we don't start getting a lot more strong people out there, there won't be no more martial arts, karate. It'll be ballet and gymnastics. People start turning the flip and all. What in the world is your opponent doing while you getting ready to run and turn backwards flip and do cartwheels? What are they doing, waiting on you to finish your show?
Oh, man. You know,
you take your weapon and you throw it way up in the air and catch it behind your back. What is your opponent doing? Wait until it comes down and get from behind your back, and then you ready? The bunkai, we call it. Explain your moves. They couldn't explain your moves when you're doing a triple backflip and a somersault and everything else. I guess that. Young black girl, if she was to get into karate and she did all her gymnastics, she'll be winning everything. She goes up and turns two and three times and twists two and three times and land on her feet.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, great gymnastics.
But not martial arts.
But not martial arts, not karate.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage everybody to unite with the traditional world karate. My website is twka.co. twka.co. Not .com, just .co.
Great.
Standing for Traditional World Karate Association. And you go to the page, go to join now, move over to Black Bella, go all the way down to the queues. It's $100 for the first year. For the queues, it's only $50 for the first year. You're able to call me and ask questions, learn new techniques.
So you're saying that
for more knowledge,
they're able to call you? They're able to call in with that? joining. They're able to call you in and talk to you.
Black belt, and I'm still learning.
Well, yes, sir.
I've been doing it for 68 years, so if I can learn from you, you surely can learn from me.
Amen to that. Yes, sir. I agree with you.
People, I don't know everything about everything, but I know most things about most things. That's where I probably got more knowledge than you have.
I've
been at all the major systems. I've been competed against all styles of karate.
And that's what makes it so unique, dealing with you. They said your teacher teach you all you know. Don't teach you all that he know. So a lot of young people forget that. They think they get that black belt or whatever, then they can do all this stuff, and all of a sudden, they're better than the teacher. You know? They have to remember just that. The teacher is still, he taught you all that you know, not all that he know. But that's just some of the things I see in this new generation of martial artists. Any thing that you like to tell the young martial artists, or maybe the old ones too? Is it the same message for both of us? We need to get back to the roots.
Yeah, very definitely. Very definitely. You don't just get out there and start running around, jumping up and down, slapping, chasing each other around. It's an art. Mm. Beautiful art.
Yes, it is.
You can't go in other sports and change it all around. Go in ballet and start just flopping around, twisting any kind of way that you want.
You mean you can't go in ballet and start breakdancing? Oh,
man.
You're going to get me in trouble. You know that, right? They're going to be calling me up, want to come to the dojo and beat me up. But I tell you what they do, they're going to be surprised. Do you have any I'm looking for the word, like merchandise that they can buy, or any patchwork to get?
They're going to get a big rank membership certificate.
Okay.
Then if they gonna go for promotion and stuff, they get a rank certificate.
Okay.
And we got patches and different artifacts.
Okay.
But the main thing is tournaments. Most associations, it's about you come to my tournament, I go to your tournament.
Yes, sir.
You bring 10, I'll send you 10.
Yes, sir.
That's what tournaments is all about. It's just winning trophies and all. We stressing more knowledge, learning more knowledge.
Yes.
Being a certain age, being at least 12 years of age, where you're black belt, knowing at least 6 techniques in each category, stances, blocks, punches, strikes, kicks, self-defense, kata, kumite, weapons, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not just knowing 2 stances, 1 kick. Yeah, but they don't give us points for that in tournaments. On the street, there are no rules. You don't have judges. That technique that you're not teaching that guy may be his favorite technique to win a fight on the street.
Maybe the one to save his life. You're right. Right. It might be the one to save his life. You know?
That's right.
Therefore, you know, they got to be really cognizant of who they going to learn from, because some people will give you water when you actually want, you know, something more substantial. You know, you might need some coffee. You might get watered down coffee, or you might want, you know, apple juice, and you might just get watered down apple juice. You know, you might want karate, and you just get watered down karate. And then when you go down the street to test what you got, it might just be too watered down. And you know, the street fighters, they for real. They coming at you with everything.
I stay in contact with my members.
Yes, sir.
Stay in contact with Lisa every member every other week or so.
Yes, you do.
And they're able to, you know, ask questions. I help them with their schools, new members in, and build their dojo up.
You guys
teach better.
You do a wonderful
That's
job.
What association is about knowledge. Yes.
Yes. It's a wonderful association, and you guys do a great job with that because you're always there, and you know they can still call and talk to you, and you answer their questions and sit there and, you know, try to help them to get to be a better martial artist if they want to listen.
I think I'm losing you. My battery's getting weak here.
Yeah. I don't want to lose you there.
Yeah.
You know, this is some good stuff you're saying. I want people to get it all. Are you able to stay connected?
I'm off here. My battery's gone.
Well, great.
Through the internet.
All right, great. Yes, sir. Well, it was my pleasure to have you today. Yes, we will. Thank you.
If anybody want to get up with me, feel free to do so.
Grandmaster Moore, thank you for your time today.
Right.
You have just talked with the legend, a great Grandmaster Vic Moore. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you too, sir. So there you have it. We're talking with great Grandmaster Vic Moore, and he expanded on a lot of things, talking about the martial arts, talking about his time dealing with some of the greater fighters on the planet. And also talking about the speed contest he had with one Bruce Lee, which I think all of us know. And if you know about karate and you heard, if you don't know who Bruce Lee is, then you probably, I don't know what to say to you. But I do know the younger guys. I've had some younger kids in my dojo. I said, you guys know who Bruce Lee is? Who? Yeah, Jackie Chan, Jet Li. You know, they know these latest, you know. So that's the way it is. Really, every generation kind of have a person or a someone that they recognized least recently in the martial arts. Great grandmasters like Chuck Norris, Bruce Lee, even Jim Kelly, Room Lee, Joe Louis, Bill Superfoot Wallace, you know, there's so many great martial artists out there that you can say. But the thing that's important is that when you find yourself a school to go to and you find yourself a person to start teaching you, which is called a sensei, you have to be dedicated to learning. You have to have an open mind. You don't go there with, oh, I know this, or I know that, or, you know, try to be humble. I've met some very humble young kids that I've had the pleasure of teaching and being trained with, and they stay humble, you know, but I've met other kids that they get a little I don't know, popularity, and all of a sudden the humbleness leaves them. And, you know, we try to, in our school, we try to make sure we stay humble and you stay yes sir, no sir, you know, stay motivated, willing for the cause to become better practitioners of the martial arts and ambassadors of the martial arts also. It's no big deal with going into a school and starting to train at a school. The big deal is staying with the school and staying to being a part to help the dojo grow and giving back to the dojo. You know, you don't go there and you start training, you on fire for months, and then all of a sudden you start slacking off, and then pretty soon it's from 4 days a week to 1 day a week to maybe every other week a day. And, you know, stay involved with your school. And that way you can help encourage other students there. I'm talking to the black belts, I'm talking to the advanced belts, you know, and to the senseis out there. You know, everybody have a better way of doing it, please, you know, use it. If you don't have a better way of doing it, get with someone who can help you get that better way. And what's the better way? The right way. That's what I call the better way. You know, trying to rush people through the martial arts just for the sake of a dollar, that's not the better way. We can do a lot better than that. You know, we want to get the kids out there to make sure they understand achieving things is worth a whole lot more than being just given to you. Because parents, we know, we give them stuff, they don't really appreciate it. When they have to work for it and get it themselves, they even take better care of it. They take better care of themselves in the martial arts, and, you know, when they have to work more for that. So, that being said, at Henry Graves Martial Art Academy, we're located at 2345 East Michigan Street in Orlando, Florida. And come down there. We have, I'm proud to say we're starting a new class, a women only self-defense class that's going to be held on Wednesdays. They can come in. The class will be starting at 6:30 on Wednesdays. The doors are open at 5. They can come in, but we start teaching the class at 6:30 so that they can have time. A lot of people get off work at 5, and a lot of them get off work at 6. They have a little bit of time to get dressed and come there and participate. Ladies, all you ladies out there, you know how the world is now. You know how crazy things have gotten. And, you know, we want you to feel safe and empowered no matter where you go, where you're at. You come there, you're going to have a good experience at the dojo. You're going to meet other people and share. And I think you're going to leave out there with a positive experience. You know, this one good thing about the martial arts, it seems to bring people together who have same like minds. And they want to do, you know, good things, and there's an opportunity to share in the community base. You know, we're talking about having good community-based programs to help the parents, help the mothers, help the fathers, help the children, you know. Help them to carry on that message of good, healthy living and things like that. Good mental attitude. You know, learn how to have good morals, respecting everyone. I pride myself in being a martial artist, but I pride myself more in being a good person. I know, thank God that, you know, we have the grace of God to help us. But with everything being said, you know, all of us are just human beings. Nobody's perfect. So if you fall down 7 times, get up 8 times. Every time, get back up. And if you're up, try to bring somebody with you. Try to make sure you help somebody else to get a better start, a better way, or, and learn how to carry on. Even have a better day. Say a kind word to someone. This is what the martial arts should bring to everyone. A sense of well-being, a self of pride, a self of togetherness, and things like that. And one thing that I don't want you to ever forget, take time out to breathe. Every day, set a little time aside to meditate, to sit there and breathe, to reflect. Close your mind to all this outward stuff. Inhale, excuse me, exhale, breathe in, breathe out. Allow the thoughts to come to you, the positive energy to come to you. Bring out all the positive good things, and you'll see how many more good things will come back to you. You know, like I say again, I tell you this every time I talk to anyone, thank God for God being there for me. And I just thank God for bringing me to Jesus, and thank God for being a martial artist. And, you know, for all my family and things like that in the martial arts, I thank you for letting me be around these people. They're some of the best people in the world. No, have I met bad martial artists? Yes. Have I met people that take the martial arts and they try to use it for just self indulgences or self trying to get ahead of other people? Yes. But I've met many more that's there helping people. They don't take it as just a end result. You know, they take it as a result to the whole, to make the whole pie better, to make a whole pie greater, taste better, you know, put in all the ingredients so that this thing can work for everyone. I don't know too many martial artists, or I don't try to associate myself with martial artists that's just being self-centered and self-motivated. You know, martial artists is something that we should share. What's good is learning a technique and then you die and nobody else get to take that technique or learn that technique or be a part of what that technique can bring. Because one technique can bring forth 100 more techniques. And out of that 100, 1,000 more can come. So, you know, we should learn to share with each other. And also remember to care about each other with this thing. It's nothing bad I can say about the martial arts people. This is one of the greatest things, I think, on earth to be a part of the martial arts. Do I like kata? More than I used to. Do I like weapons? More than I used to. Sparring? Love it. I love the whole aspect of just body movement, you know, punching and kicking. Sometimes I'll spar with myself, you know, and just it feels great. You know, it gets my mind working. I get the sweating and, you know, like shadow boxing, but I call it just sparring boxing. And, you know, and when I do that, I get to move around, open up my mind to the possibilities of being attacked from different areas and throwing punches and kicks and, you know, just motivating myself and give off those good emotional feelings, those good hormones let out, you know, through that workout. So I can tell you now, martial arts are great. And I would hope that everyone in Orlando would come down, come to the dojo, share the experience with us, be a part of the experience with us, and take that experience back and, you know, share it. And all I can say is to you is that we look forward to seeing each of us, one of you guys, at some point during this travel down this path of life. And I look forward to talking to many more of my friends in the martial arts and the people that we call superstars are everyday people. You are a superstar. Even though you are everyday people, hey, think great of yourself. Remember, great and getting better. I will end this with telling you again, domo, haigato. Thank you very much for being part of the way. And I'm very much looking forward to the part that we can start taking phone calls from people out there in the listening audience. But this Wednesday, I would like to say, please come to the dojo. 6 o'clock, we have in the start of our women's self-defense program is going to start at 6:30. But I'd like for you guys to get there at 6 so that you can get all, you know, ready to be a part of it and talk about a little bit of things, what we're going to expect from it and get some of your input on it and things like that. Have a great day. God bless you. Domo haigato. Uss.